Welcome to Inside Analog Photo. I'm your host, Scott Shepard. The Inside Analog Photo radio program is all about the traditional photographic process. We talk about all aspects of analog photography, including the hybrid workflow. You can find out more information over at www.insideanalogphoto.com. And of course, Inside Analog Photo is brought to you by Fujifilm, making life more colorful. These guys have the coolest instant photography materials known to mankind. They have, of course, the pack film in 3.25 by 4.25 and 4x5, color and black and white. They have the Instax systems in the wide format, the Instax 210 camera and film, and of course the Instax Mini in the Instax Mini 7 and the Instax Mini 25, both in color film. Beautiful stuff. There's nothing cooler than instant photography. You get a print, because if you don't have a print, you don't have a real photograph. This is great fun stuff. This is great for art. This is great for business. This is cool stuff. You definitely want to check them out over at www.fujifilmusa.com/professional, making life more colorful. Our friends over at Photo Publicist, providing worldwide publicity, strategic promotion, social media marketing, and business development for the photographer, turning photographers into celebrities. You can find out more information over at www.photopublicist.com. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab for the highest quality work known to mankind anywhere on this planet. Unbelievable developing, scanning, and of course, output on high quality Fuji Crystal Archive. Unbelievable cool stuff these guys are up to. And remember, you don't have a photograph unless you have a print in your hand, and you need to print your pictures. This is important. You need to supply proofs to your customers and even print your own work, because it's not about looking at it on a monitor. It's about holding a print in your hand. Definitely check these guys out at Richard Photo Lab, of course, at richardphotolab.com. Our friends over at DR5. DR5 Chrome Black and White Developing, that turns your black and white neg into, that's right, black and white chrome. Unbelievable stuff. www.dr5.com. Our friends over at Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com. For the camera strap that will not slip off your shoulder, guaranteed bar none, the coolest strap around. Our friends at Iger Studios for the finest quality drum scans known to mankind, IgerStudios.com. Our official media partner, APUG, the Analog Photography User Group, for all things traditional photographic process on the web, www.apug.org. And our official philanthropic partner, George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film, over at www.eastmanhouse.org. Today on Inside Analog Photo, we're going to be here with Scott DiSabato from Eastman Kodak. Scott is the Pro Film Marketing Manager and, of course, Sales Manager for Eastman Kodak in the USA. We're going to talk to Scott today about the new Portra 400, large format films, Photokina, and a lot of great stuff going on. Scott, how are you doing today?
It's going great. Thanks for having me on your show.
Thanks for joining us here on Inside Analog Photo to talk about all the stuff happening currently with Kodak. You have a brand new 400 speed color negative film and a lot of cool stuff going on. So let's chat about this new Portra 400.
Yeah, certainly. We're really excited about this new film. What we've done here is we have achieved the finest grain 400 speed color negative film. And we did so without compromising all the things that people look for with the Portra line of films. Still is doing skin tones beautifully. It does a superb job with color. It scans, it prints optically, and it now does so in a way that will improve the scanning results, improve the printing results, and that improvement in grain will be a direct translation no matter what you do with this film.
So previously we had Portra in a NC and a VC version. So we had a neutral and some of the more vivid color. Let's talk about how that have come together now into a standard Portra 400.
Yeah, so for the balance of the year, I think we'll still have the NC and VC products on the market, possibly even into 2011. But principally on a stock turnover basis, you're going to start to see the Portra 400 product arrive at your local dealer. There's a little bit of history here, Scott, that is worth talking about. When we first introduced the Portra films in the 1990s, the dominant form of printing was optical. And it was important if you were going to have an image with snap that you had a difference in terms of contrast and color saturation. And likewise, if you had a high contrast scene, say like a wedding dress, and a lot of skin tone, you definitely wanted those to be handled with kind of moderate contrast to make sure the highlight and shadow details were somewhat close together. And the natural color film did that very well. So from that point, the Vivicolor film, the VC film, was at least 10% different in terms of contrast and color saturation. If you kind of fast forward to 2006, when we came out with our second generation of portrait films, what we did looking at the workflow at that point in time, which was probably 85% scanning at that point, is we moved those two films within 5% of each other. So kind of a big jump from where they had been launched to where we kind of refined them back in 2006. So they were only about 5% differential contrast in color saturation. Now really what we've done with this final move is we have looked at the fact that almost all film today is scanned. So what we really have done here is we've optimized the contrast and we've optimized the color saturation to have excellent results in a variety of scanners. So there are high-end scanners and more basic scanners out there, and we want to make sure that those highlight and shadow details are close enough to one another that they retain the highlight and shadow detail that you need. And then, of course, post-scanning or post-production, you've got options if you want to accentuate that. But if your scanner is not able to get those values in the first place, you never have that detail or information to work with. And then likewise, sometimes if you load in too much color, too much dye information in the film emulsion, sometimes that can begin to compete with some of the tonal information in the film. So we've definitely optimized this film in that regard, the Portra 400. And then likewise, the big jump in improvement from a grain structure point of view will translate directly into a higher quality scan, which will increase your ability to enlarge that image. So we're real excited about that. So if you look at the progression from the mid-90s, where it was almost exclusively an optical workflow, and we look at 2010, where it's almost exclusively scanned, we have created a film here that is going to really do a superb job there. Now, I do want to point out that this film still has an orange base, and it still will print optically as beautifully as the last generation did. And again, depending on the paper you use, the contrast of the optics in your enlarger, you'll get a slightly different result there. But this film is completely compatible with the optical system as well. I wanted to point that out.
Let's go into that here for a moment about the optical printing of color negative film. Do you typically find in what you have contact with the customers and the people that are really doing optical enlargement, what sector do you see that people are actually still analog processing color negative film to make prints?
Obviously, this film is going to be available worldwide. And I think in the U.S., a lot of the film ends up being scanned, sometimes in labs that are about high productivity, sometimes in more custom labs that may be scanning on more kind of one-off individual basis. And so everything I just covered there, I think, explains how this film is going to perform in that workflow environment. But certainly, there are fine art photographers and educational departments. And I'm sure probably a handful of labs, maybe many labs in the U.S. that are still printing optically. But I think in many cases, we're probably talking about enlargers as opposed to optical package printers that were so common 10, 15 years ago. Now, if we look at other parts of the world, emerging markets, if we were to look at India or maybe parts of Central or South America, there's a good chance that there are still optical printers out there that are doing proofing and packaging work. Again, so this film is going to work just fine in those environments, but I think the higher the enlargement, the better the scan, I think the more you'll see how good this film really is. It still has that great overexposure latitude of 3 stops, underexposure latitude 2 stops, and the skin tones have never been more beautiful.
What do you see is, and typically has been, Scott, the biggest market segment for a 400 ISO color negative film? Is it wedding portrait? What's the big consumer of this speed of film?
It's hard to sort of pinpoint that because an awful lot of people that are doing a variety of work, but a lot of what we would have thought of as commercial applications a short time ago are definitely more in line with color negative films than they've ever been. Certainly digital is an element there, but the latitude and forgiveness of color negative film is still relevant in the color negative market. But if I were to summarize it, I think that the portrait, wedding, social end of things is probably the largest market still for color negative film. And it's not necessarily kind of the old guard. I think a lot of people that were in this business 10 years ago have converted to digital in some cases. And some have come back to film due to the workflow or different elements, whether it's skin tone, highlight, connection with the subject. But it's really this kind of younger, newer, very highly creative photographer that I see at a lot of trade shows or get in touch with that is really enamored with color negative film, and it's exciting to see that for sure.
It is, and maybe we can chat about that for a moment. I mean, there's been, and I don't know if I'm going to call this a resurgence, but let's pick LOMO, Lomography. So these guys have been starting to open up retail locations in bigger cities in the U.S. and places in Europe. It seems now that when you go into one of their stores or some other people that are doing the same type of marketing to the same sector, that it's been really hip and cool to go in and buy a plastic camera and fill it full of yummy film.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that is a growing part of the market. And having met with them recently, I was surprised to understand that just a fraction of their customer base they would call professional photographers, people that actually make their living doing photography. The vast majority of their customer base are, well, there's a lot of terms you could use, but definitely a lot of them tend to be a little bit younger, creative careers or professions or personal tendencies. You might be able to call them hip or trendsetters. And so the whole analog movement is beyond what we would think of as just a traditional professional photographer. And it's kind of permeating kind of a generational thing that we at Kodak find very exciting. We definitely are excited because we kind of looked at the pool of professional photographers out there and whether or not people chose to use digital and film or if they just used film or if they were completely digital. We kind of looked at that as the marketplace. Wonderful thing that we're recognizing is there's a generation of photographers that were born digital. They have done nothing most of their lives but photograph and do a variety of things electronically and digitally. And the moment they get an opportunity to work with, discover, touch, feel, smell film, and the tangible nature of film, the wonderful interpretation that film provides, and some aspects of control are left to this analog device, they fall in love with it. And it's not a subtle thing. It's not a, I vow to shoot one roll of film every month. They're quite smitten with it, and that becomes one of their major tools that they use. And that's exciting for us because that is a different group that we can add to the main population of photographers that we've been serving. And that makes the future very exciting for us, which then allows us to invest in a film like Portra 400. And if we're going to invest dollars to create a product like this, we certainly expect that over the next few years, we're going to pay off that investment and be able to better serve the photographic community with a better product as well.
So let's talk about that with Kodak investing new dollars into a newer technology and making a new print film. Most people would think, well, they have their film and it works great. A lot of people in the digital end of business would think, well, why are they making new film?
Just a quick thought on that is we are a very lucky company because we have a lot of resources. And those resources are due to the fact that we have a very large consumer business. Consumer films, single-use cameras that are made. We also have the motion picture industry, so whether it's cinematography film or print film, we get to share a lot of the same resources, a lot of the same technology, research, development, and some of the overhead. We can kind of work very effectively, and Kodak is by far the largest producer of photographic film in the world. So a lot of the technology in this film was really developed on the motion picture side from the Vision 3 films. And the new microstructure optimized T-grain that we're using here was basically borrowed, if you will, from the motion picture group. And we have antenna dye in this film, which allow the light to more efficiently transmit kind of deeper into the emulsion so that more light is reaching the silver. So therefore, the silver can be finer grains. But again, we're real lucky to have those resources. And we can commercialize and develop a film like this. And it doesn't necessarily have to rely on just the professional portfolio because we have all those other resources that we can leverage and borrow. So it's a great kind of division that we work in where we kind of share all that information back and forth.
No, I think it's fabulous that there is continued development and how the engineers are not really keeping one technology for a certain sector and one for another. They're using all this across the board that just makes film and analog capture that much better.
Yeah, for sure. We had a nice little stretch here. Over the last year and a half, we have introduced the Ektar 100 film. That's the finest grain color film produced, and it has really been accepted very well. Then in 2006, as I mentioned, we actually revamped the Generation 2 portrait films, the 160 and the 400. Then I think in between there, we did the T-Max 400, a brand new emulsion for us as well. So we've had a nice little track record here, and I really believe we're the only film company out there that continues to invest in new products and help photographers make better pictures. But at the same time, we have films like Tri-X, which we have no plans on improving because we like it right where it is.
So let's stand back and look at the whole portrait line, the whole color negative catalog for Kodak. So we have this new 400, we have a lower speed film, and then there's, of course, Portra 800. So how does all this stuff stand in regards to technology and what people can get and what and why?
So if we look at our color negative portfolio, if we start at the top, we have the Portra 800 film. It's available in 35mm and 120. As I mentioned, it shares a lot of the high-speed color negative technology that we have in the Portra film here. So it's the latest generation of T-grain. We also have more efficient emulsion technology in there that allows light to reach deeper into the emulsion, as I explained. So it's available at the high-speed range and at 400, which is to some people also considered high-speed. We have the brand new Portra 400 for a few more months. You'll see the natural color and the vivid color on the market at 400 speed. And then on a stock turnover, all of that will be replaced by the Portra 400. We have the 160 natural color, and it's available in 35, 120, 220, and sheet film sizes. And then we have the 160 VC that is available in medium format as well. And we have the Ektar film, which is kind of flanking the VC film. And I think we've seen some movement from the VC film over to the Ektar 100, just because the vivid color, while it was vivid compared to the natural color, there's no film like the Ektar when it comes to color saturations. So I think that siphoned off some interest over there. So it's a great family of color negative films that offer different speed ranges and different looks depending on what you're after.
It's what's amazing is the skin tone rendering with Ektar.
It's a surprise. You would look at a film that can grab color so aggressively and so strongly, and you would think that that would turn skin tone into a steak or something. But surprisingly, it does a pretty good job on skin tones, and the colors are really bold right beside it, and it's fantastic. I know a lot of photographers will overexpose it and get an even more porcelain quality out of the skin if they kick up the exposure and the contrast in the film.
Let's talk about availability here with the Portra 400. So we have this, of course, in 35 and in medium format 120, but you also are going to be making this in 220. That's actually really rare these days. And of course, in 4x5.
Yeah, so as I said, the finishing is going to be completed on a stock turnover basis. So I believe in October in the U.S., you'll start to see the 120 and 220 film show up. And I think it's going to be a little bit later, maybe closer to December, when we'll start to see the 35mm arrive. I don't have definite plans on when the sheet film will start to show up. But again, that's going to depend on some of the stock turnover demand that's generated out there. So a variety of things can happen. A lot of people may hear about the new Portra 400 or get a sample roll at a trade show coming up and like it enough that they'll switch everything over and they'll seek that product. A lot of people that felt they were really dialed in on the NC or VC emulsion, they may start to buy up some of that product so that they're comfortable with transitioning at their own pace. So it's hard to say when the film's going to kind of get used up in the marketplace. But in October, we'll start to see medium format, and then towards the end of the year, we'll have that out in 35. But yeah, we're excited to offer the Portra 400 in 220. It's an important format for photographers that want to and need to keep shooting. And I think a lot of other manufacturers have moved to kind of a 120 position only.
Do you really find that it's worthwhile to continue manufacturing 220-based film? Because really, it's got different backing. It really seems to be a real pain to make this stuff.
Well, in the end, I think the marketplace, the photographers are going to decide what Kodak is going to do. For now, absolutely, 220 makes perfect sense for us. But you're right, it does rely on a lot of different components, but we are in good shape right now. And we can kind of spread that across a number of different films that we offer in 220.
So, Scott, we have a lot of interesting discussions going online about people and film and availability and how come there's not 47 varieties of the same thing. And I think this thing really gets down to, at least from what I think for Kodak's view, would be that if people would buy all these yummy different variations in film, that Kodak would keep making it. So I guess the message is that people need to consume film and not flap their jaw so much.
Well, yeah, Scott, you're right, absolutely. And so the majority of the film types and formats have been in decline for a number of years. So that rate of decline sort of compounds over that amount of time, and certainly the amount of still film that Kodak is making on the professional side is nowhere near what it once was. I think everyone understands that. You can kind of look around and understand that. You can walk into the camera store that maybe you've been going to for many years and see the changes there. And I think that everybody sees that. So what we have done at Kodak, we work really hard, and it's been noticed. We have really, really stepped up trying to control our costs. So if we're able to control those costs, we can still offer a huge variety of films out there. As the film's volumes decline, the cost has to decline as well. And that's why maybe you don't see as many Kodak professional employees talking about film like we once had. And that's kind of what we had to do there. So we've got our costs in control. And now under these lower volumes we're experiencing, we can still offer as many films as we are. And I think that's the great news. But absolutely, it really ends up being a two-way street, and we need everyone out there that is interested in analog photography and Kodak films specifically to certainly use those products. And then we can continue to offer those products now and into the future. And that's kind of the name of the game. I think everybody gets that and understands that. But again, I think if you were to look at the magnitude of the decline and really look at this amazing portfolio that we have, as I've said before, this portfolio is the best portfolio Kodak has ever made in terms of the quality of the films that we have. And there's still a lot of selection out there. It's a pretty comprehensive portfolio, actually. So, yeah, we need people to use those products, and we will continue to make them. We've heard that from the top down.
Well, I mean, really, and I think I've had this discussion on the program with Robert Shanebrook, that used to be the head guru at Kodak for many decades. And the bottom line is, really, we'll make whatever you guys want to buy. And people always complain, well, they discontinued this film, they don't have this. But like you said, really, those films were great. But there's something, I think, in people's minds, and they think of something positive from something old or something they used to use. And they're bummed because they don't have the old thing, but they don't realize that the new stuff is actually far better than anything they used to use. So, like you said, I think the portfolio now is pretty complex in its coverings and the technology that's really involved in manufacturing this product and what really goes into this versus what people can actually buy for a really low price.
Yeah, I mean, it's very high quality, it's very consistent, and we're able to make it in a very repeatable fashion. But I do want to point out to everybody that we will entertain special orders. The hurdles involved in these special orders are pretty enormous for an individual photographer, and I would argue even a photographic dealer to try to hit those hurdles sometimes, but we do it all the time. So if Kodak is making a particular film emulsion base combination, and we have a master roll of that product which we could finish in a specific way for a specific customer, we're looking for approximately a $15,000 order, and then with that, we'll make just about anything you want. There's a special order premium that goes with that, but we will do those sort of things. And to that end, I do want to talk about some of our 8x10 ultra-large format. The challenge is if the camera store every month had ordered a case of 8x10 film, because they always had a number of photographers that were utilizing it, and then one day they bought a case and they only sold two boxes out of it. So we're sitting there with film on the shelf and it doesn't get purchased. And suddenly, as they get near expiration, they have to discount that. And a little more time goes on and the film's actually expired and they give it away at a significant loss. That camera store, that dealer, will never order that product again because they just lost money on that. And to a degree, on a national scale, this is what we're seeing. So Kodak is still making product in many cases, but it's not getting ordered. So the challenge is really to try to collect that grassroots demand and organize that in a way that is able to meet Kodak's special order requirements. So I think some of the 8x10 and ultra-large format sizes that we don't stock at all, we're going to be moving to more of that sort of strategy, either made-to-order or special orders. And that just makes sense given the very spiky demand that we see with these sort of products. So we have actually started working with a customer in the U.S. called Canon Cameras. You can find them online. But they actually produce large format cameras, 4x5 up to 20x24, and a lot of very unique sizes in between that require custom film. They have kind of a worldwide network of distributors and dealers, and they're going to help us kind of organize some of that interest so that an individual photographer doesn't have to buy 67 boxes to hit our minimums, but they might just need to order two or three, and they'll collect that order, place the order with Kodak, and as soon as we're able to finish that product, we'll start to ship it. So I think that's kind of a realistic look at how I think some of these real low volume formats are going to be dealt with in the future. But I want everyone out there to have the confidence that if Kodak is making that film-based combination, that we can do this. You just have to try to organize it either on your own or like we're trying to do with Canon cameras. I think that's kind of a great idea. So right now, the film emulsions he is most interested in and is taking orders actively with are the Ektar 100. It'll be a great landscape film and a great colorful film for sure. The new Portra 400 will be on that list as well. Good old Tri-X and T-Max 400. Obviously, when you're throwing that much light around with these very large cameras, higher speed sensitivity is of huge benefit. And then with all that area of film, the image structure at almost any speed is good enough. So that's kind of what's going on behind the scenes. We're just trying to better organize that, even worldwide, but I'm responsible for the U.S.
And of course, if you wanted Portra 800, you could order that as well from Canon, correct?
Well, again, that's not on the rigid S-TAR base, so its performance I would be uncertain about. But yeah, we could cut it into large sheets. But again, I'd worry about the kind of stiffness involved there if it were one of the very large sizes. You might be able to get away with it in 4x5, but I don't know the exact characteristics to even comment on that.
And I think that's one of the things, too, that people don't understand, that these different types of film, 35 medium format, and of course even larger, have different thicknesses of the base that the film's coated on. And I think that's maybe you can just emphasize that this large format stuff, 4x5 and bigger, is typically a different base than, let's say, 35 millimeter or 120.
Right. It has to hold flat at the film plane and needs to be more rigid in order to do that so it doesn't buckle or bow out or in. Whereas you have on the smaller roll film pressure plates, you've got backs that really hold the film very still to the film plane. And so it's just different. Every camera's a little different. Every format's different.
You guys just got back from Photokina. You had, of course, a big Kodak presence and some panels going on and people, I'm sure, talking with you as well as the European Kodak people about film. And we have some trade shows coming up that you guys are going to be at. So let's talk about Photokina. What did you find from attendees and people that came up and talked with Kodak about film and consumption of film? What was just the whole vibe of the show?
Well, there's just a lot of genuine interest in film. So obviously working that part of the show in the booth, I was probably bumping into more film people than I would have on average. But it was great to see. And all ages, all types, all areas of photography were represented very well. But as I said earlier in our conversation, just seeing people that I know did not grow up with film, excited about film, asking for some sample product, that's great. That's part of our future, and we're excited to be involved in that. But yeah, just a lot of excitement about film. And for many years, there was a debate. It was digital or film. And for a while, we definitely saw the pattern. Well, it's digital and film. Now people are enjoying film and on its own again, and it's kind of refreshing. So this kind of stare down that occurred over many years here, I think everyone's at ease again, and it's great because there's a lot of different paintbrushes out there, and the artist and the technician, they're free to choose what they want depending on what they're trying to achieve. So it's a great time.
It is, and of course you're going to be at Photo Plus coming up here at the end of the month in New York City as well.
Yeah, we will. We will have some early sample rolls in 35 and 120 of the new Portra 400, as well as some other goodies. So, yeah, we're going to be talking a lot about that product. We're also celebrating at Kodak 125 years of innovation. That innovation 125 years ago started with flexible roll film. I think we take for granted the impact that has had on photography, but before when you were coating glass plates, it was a very, very different process. And it was not really pushed down to the masses or to pros without the means. I think what George Eastman did with flexible roll film opened up photography into everybody's life, everyone's family. And we have the great memories today of that innovation. And of course, the innovation at Kodak didn't stop there. It just began there as we introduced color film emulsions as we invented the digital camera and the digital SLR, and today with the Portra 400, we keep moving on. So great time. This company has a lot of great intellectual property, and we will continue to make just fascinating products with it, I'm sure.
Of course, and it's just great to see you guys keeping this whole analog capture alive and to make new products. So it's a great time for people shooting film. Like you said, it's the best film that's ever been made. So Scott, I guess the best place to go to find out more information about the new Portra 400 or anything else that's going on with Kodak would be Kodak.com?
Kodak.com is a great place to start. It's such a rich website that I almost just recommend that search capability there to find out whatever you want, whether it's technical publication or just more information on our various products.
Great stuff. We look forward to seeing you soon, and I really appreciate the time to talk about the Portra 400 and to clarify a few things. Film is a magical thing, and people are realizing this, and it's just great to see that young people and even people that have gone digital are switching back to film, and I think really there is a resurgence, and this is just a fabulous time.
Yeah, I agree, and it's an influential movement, and I think that that has great ramifications long term, so we're excited.
It is fun stuff, and Scott, I really appreciate it, and we look forward to chatting again very soon.
I appreciate you having me on the show. Take care.
Well, there you go. Scott DeSabato, Eastman Kodak, Pro Film Marketing Manager, Sales Manager for the United States of America. And you can find out more information over www.kodak.com. The Inside Analog Photo Radio Program has been brought to you by Fujifilm for their full line of instant cameras and film, and of course, fine quality Fuji Crystal Archive paper over at www.FujifilmUSA.com/professional. Our friends at Photo Publicist, Worldwide Publicity, Strategic Promotion, Social Media Marketing, and Business Development over at www.photopublicist.com. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab for the finest quality lab in the country, richardphotolab.com. Our friends over at DR5 for black and white chrome at dr5.com. Upstrap for the finest quality camera strap that will not slide off your shoulder at upstrap-pro.com. Our friends over at Iger Studios at igerstudios.com. And of course, our media partners of the Analog Photography User Group at apug.org. And our official philanthropic partner, George Eastman House, over at eastmanhouse.org. I've been your host, Scott Shippard, here on Inside Analog Photo. We'll be back next week with more great analog photography.